Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
This week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. Sitting next to me on the couch is your other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
Could you live with 100 chickens for $10,000 a day?
$10,000 a day? $10,000 a day? I would eat 100 chickens a day.
Samantha, you can barely eat one chicken breast when I make it for you.
No, I can.
I said barely.
I can eat it. But you're not giving me any money to do it. $10,000, I'd eat 100 chickens. Would you?
Yeah, but the thing is, I would actually eat, like, as somebody that once ate, like, 12
like
items
eggs.
In the Taco Bell menu and once said, what?
Eggs? I like eggs. I could eat a lot of eggs.
Why are you answering these questions like Brick from Anchorman?
I am. I've hit the wall. I've passed the wall. I hit the wall. I climbed over it.
Well, if you hit the wall, it'd be hard for you to climb over it because you probably have a concussion.
Exactly. And then I climbed back over it, and then I fell down. And then I hit the wall again.
This is what happens when we record two episodes in one night.
I've fallen asleep four times, and it has been a week already.
It has. Make a prediction as to what's happened
exhausted.
In the past week that, from people that are hearing this, because it is still Thursday, May 15th, 2025. If you're new here, we're married. We have a lot of movies. We talk about both those things. And sometimes, because I'm about to travel for work, I'm on the road, so we have to record two episodes in one night. So tell the people what has happened from the time that we recorded
the last podcast? Podcast to now? The last podcast? This camping?
Samantha.
Huh?
You don't smell toast, do you?
What?
Do you smell toast?
You're not cooking?
And I'm not.
Oh,
why are you using your hand like it's... Are you literally holding your eyes open?
I am exhausted.
Well, you need to wake up. Do you want me to touch you again?
No! hey, yo!
Sorry, hold on. You want me to touch you again?
No, that's... You're too late. Wrong episode. Get out of here.
I'm too late?
Do your Christian Bale impersonation. Oh, yeah, it's just your Batman. It's the same voice.
Swear to me.
Yeah.
The best one I've done.
What's happened between the last time we recorded and this time
we
recorded?
Make a prediction. Something that's happened. Oh, well, I guess we
can
actually...
My prediction. Jillian woke up and I had to go upstairs for 10 minutes to put her to sleep. What do you mean? Oh, you mean like what have we done in our lives in the last week?
Like, yes.
Like pretend?
We've done way too much.
Like pretend?
Let's we'll go back and revisit this. Since people have last heard us, we've had a yard sale where we made like 2,000 bucks.
Ooh, yes.
We went and did the Muppet Vision 3D for the last time at Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
We went to Fun Spot, mm-hmm. and Jillian forced you to do several rides.
Gross.
She does want to do go-karts with each one of us.
Okay.
And so we'll see who's the better driver then.
I hate go-karts.
I hate go-karts too because they're icky. But go-karts I have a lot of fun with.
You're a go-kart.
You can't say that.
Rich isn't here.
That's...
I lie you.
My name is Jeff. I've been in St. Pete, and I'm thinking I've seen The Accountant too when I'm there.
Such an asshole. Have you been waiting the entire time to just
no.
repeat that?
No, I just
same
came up with it right now.
Joke.
That's a sign of a good improviser.
I hate you so much.
So before Samantha full-blown is in a coma, let's talk about the movie for this week. This is from our Wrap It Up series.
Which I think this movie's been nominated several times because I'm the worst.
Yeah, I don't... So, it might be my first note. Why the fuck did... Number one, I don't... Well, we'll get into it. I don't know why we own this. I don't know why you nominated it. The movie is American Hustle. That got nominated at some point. I couldn't even tell you, if I look at the list and see what order it's in, I might be able. Might
is
a strong word.
It honestly probably got nominated against Silver Linings Playbook, if I had to guess.
Oh, actually, that's an amazing guess.
Yeah, I know. I'm amazing.
Yeah, so I picked the movie I actually like.
But that's probably why we own this, because we enjoy Silver Linings Playbook.
No, so I remember seeing this in theaters when it came out over a decade ago, and, like, immediately not hating it. And then, like, the discourse around it began, and I was like, oh, yeah, those are some good points, and this is honestly the first time I've seen it since. So I was going into it thinking, like, it can't be as bad as what people say it is now. And watching it, turns out I was wrong.
You were wrong.
So, okay. Samantha, go ahead and get your bifocals out and
my
read
gosh.
What's on the front. Turn it around. What's on
Jeez
the front?
Jeez Louise, there is.
There's writing
a
on the front.
A lot going on here. Okay. Yep. 10 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture.
Why did it take you so long to do that?
Because look at how small that including is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Like, it actually says
I was,
that.
I was about to give you a point because I was like, including's not there.
No, is there.
Yeah.
That's 0.4 font.
You didn't read the bottom.
Oh, sorry. From the director of Silver Linings Playbook and The Fighter. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Winner, Golden Globes Best Picture. Winner, New York Film Critics Circle Best Picture. What award is that?
It's one of the main, like, film critic awards.
Oh.
It's a pretty self-explanatory.
But is it, like, a big deal?
Yeah, of the critics awards, yeah, it's one.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. American Hustle is the best picture of the year. Oh, man. Oh, man, this is so
small. Is that actual words?
Yeah. It is a series of astonishments and a flowing tribute to the love of movies themselves. All of the actors take enormous risks and form an ensemble that is the equal of anything from Hollywood's golden age, says the New Yorker, David Denby. You should give me bonus points for doing this shit.
I'm not going to count anything against you in that little section.
Like,
right,
that's
there.
Ridiculous.
The rest of this, though, I don't know.
4 stars, as perfect a film as it gets, says Richard Roper, Chicago Sun-Times. Oh, Jesus.
You squint and look at this.
I know, my gosh. A fictional film set in the alluring world of one of the most stunning scandals to rock our nation, American Hustle tells the story of brilliant con man Irving Rosenfeld, Christian Bale, who, along with his equally cunning and seductive British partner, Sidney Prosser, Amy Adams, is forced to work for a wild FBI agent, Richie DeMaso, Bradley Cooper. DeMaso pushes them into a world of Jersey power brokers and mafia that's as dangerous as it is enchanting. Jeremy Renner is Carmine Polito, the passionate, volatile New Jersey political operator caught between the con artists and feds. Irving's unpredictable wife, Rosalyn, Jennifer Lawrence, could be the one to pull the thread that brings the entire world crashing down. Oh, I thought you were putting your finger up, but you were picking your
ear. No, I'm picking my ear.
Like David O. Russell's previous films, The Fighter, Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle defies genre, hinging on raw emotion and life and death stakes. I should get bonus points for not fucking
there's
any
no
of that
bonus
up.
Points for doing...
I almost shit my goddamn pants.
You're an adult woman. You should be able to read. So congratulations.
Yeah. Do I have access to $500? Yeah. I'm okay. An adult woman.
Talk about those things separately. So second time we've seen this movie.
Yeah. What are you scoring it? What score are you giving?
I'm giving this movie a 3.5.
Are you seriously giving it a 3.5?
Yes. What are you giving it?
I didn't know that you didn't like it that much.
I thought this movie was pretty, pretty bunk.
I thought it was pretty mid. I'm giving it a 5. I don't know why I nominated it so many times. I had such a hard-on for this movie.
Damn, I lost my pen. I tried to find it. I hit myself in the dick. That's so much better than anything that happened in this movie. Ow. God damn it. Where's my pen? My penis hurts. Where'd my pen go? My pen get lost in the middle of the fucking... Is it my ass?
No.
It's fine. I got another one. All
right. You had another one there the whole time?
You had extra gloves? Yeah, this movie kind of sucks.
I don't know why I had such a hard-on for it. I think because I wanted to love it because of the ensemble. Because that's one thing you have to give this movie. The ensemble, like on paper, looking at it, Bradley Cooper, Amy Adams, Christian Bale, Jennifer Lawrence, Jeremy Renner, like, this should be fire. Then you got De Niro in there too, right? Like, this should be knocked out of the park.
This movie is bad.
But it's not.
It is.
No, no, no. I meant, but it's not a knock out of the park. I was finishing my thought. Because you were interrupting me.
Well, because you were, so, I think David O. Russell is a fucking hack. And he is the biggest problem with this movie, on top of being a very, very well-known piece of fucking shit.
He's a piece of shit.
He
used to be a piece of
shit. No, he still is a piece of shit.
He's still a piece of shit. And the fact that,
like, fucking Christian Bale and fucking Jennifer Lawrence just still do fucking movies with him, and Taylor Swift did a movie with him. The last movie was the movie that she did. So it's her fucking fault and her problem.
Not her fault. Why the fuck are you shitting all over Taylor? She didn't do anything to you. She's trying to live a quiet life right now.
His whole, like, so the number one trivia for this movie in, like, everywhere you fucking go is, like, the biggest indictment of the movie itself, okay? So, like, all of his movies,
everyone is encouraged. I knew that you were going
to
point this out.
Everyone is encouraged to improvise, right? Which is fine. Great. I'm fine with that.
We love it.
So, during shooting, Christian Bale, like, started to notice some problems about, like, the plot.
The plot.
And asked David O. Russell, based on what was just improvised, if that's used, like, it's going to change the plot greatly down track. To which David O. Russell said, I hate plots. I'm all about characters. That's it.
Yeah, I think that sums it up really well. That's been all for this week's episode of Married with Movies.
It is maddening to watch. So I like Silver Linings Playbook. Well, the last time we watched it, didn't like it as much as I did the last time.
Yeah.
The first time I watched it. I've only seen The Fighter once. It's fine. I absolutely detest the movie I Heart Huckabees. I was forced to watch it with all my smart IB friends who were like, oh, this is so existential and cool. No, it's not. It's a nonsensical movie that makes no fucking sense. Which is the same fucking thing I just said twice. When you call Lily Tomlin a cunt, you go on a list to me, all right? That woman's a saint. And he's just bad. And this movie is so indicative of it. It's very obvious there's a ton of improv because the script is a mess, particularly because there's way too many fucking lines and jokes and reactions that sound so goddamn unnatural. Is the acting, for the most part, pretty good in this? Yes!
Yes. I think the acting is really phenomenal.
It is.
That's what saves this movie for me.
But it doesn't save it for me. It can only get you by so much. It is so all over the place, and I dislike so many of the choices that it makes. It's totally silly 1 second with fucking butts getting bongoed on and Christian Bale randomly freaking out and, like, self-monologuing things. And then there's, like, serious recapping, like, tonally shifting voiceovers, and it's, like, constantly like that. There is never a stretch where you feel comfortable in it, where the movie feels comfortable in its own skin.
I feel like it was almost, like, Mamet-esque kind of thing.
That's a fair, like, that's a, like, fair point.
Stylistically, more than anything, because it had, like, I think it had three of those voiceover things, you know? Like, so I think it kind of tried to do it in that way to make the through line instead of having it be, like, the same all the way through. It's like, okay, we're going to do this style, and then let's revisit that same style, but this many scenes down the road.
See, I honestly, thinking back to it, I was just waiting for it to end, but, like, I can't trace a lot of that because as soon as I get my bearings into, like, a mode we're going down. So, like, as an example, like, after the kind of the first bus, when Richie kind of snags them and, you know, they have to basically work for the feds in order to avoid, you know, paying their penance, it gets, like, really melodramatic and it gets even messier. And then, like, things kind of, like, settle because it's character-focused. But then, like, it gets character-focused to where, like, Richie's at his house with fucking curlers in his hair.
Yeah.
And his, like, mom's yelling at him. And, like, he has a fiance. And, like, it ruins all the momentum because they're choosing to round out characters to, like, this nth degree.
It's too real that it...
Continue, sorry.
It's too real that it removes the, like, oh, where's this gonna go kind of thing. Like, it's just, I feel like it's too grounded almost when in this, it kind of starts out being a little bit not like that.
I disagree with the fact that it feels too real. I think in some moments, there's some character building that is crazy from the perception of the visual. So, like, the way the movie starts, which is just Christian Bale trying to figure his hair out. And, like, he's got his gut out and everything else. Like,
disgusting.
It's gross, and it's what a way to, like, start a movie, right?
Yeah.
But, like... you kind of get his deal from that.
Absolutely. I think it was a great opening scene for that reason.
And it gives you right in the middle of the
first... What character development.
Kind of that first, you know, that first attempt to bust Carmine and everything like that. You know, it works. But, like, stuff like that just keeps getting elevated.
Yeah.
And to me, it becomes unrealistic. Like, by the end of it, like, Bradley Cooper's character is such a fucking caricature of what it starts like. And I don't get the purpose behind it. Is it because of, like, his ambition? Is it because of, like, the times and, like, this, like, power-hungry, you know, misunderstanding of, you know, kind of what he's involved in? Like, it doesn't, it none of it... feels right to me. Like, there are so many moments where I'm like, why is this happening? Like,
because there was no plot, babe.
It's like, why is Amy Adams screaming on the toilet? Why is there such, like, Italian revelry?
Yeah.
Why did this get 10 Academy Award nominations?
I mean, it's a full-on 70s vibe. And I think, you know, like we said, the acting was really what... propelled this movie, because it wasn't the script, it wasn't the story, but I think, like, the music was on point.
Music is great,
you know. So I mean, I can see why, because there are a lot of good things about this movie, but the nonsensicalism,
not a word,
it's okay, this wasn't a film, detracts from all of those things, so, you know. From the Shah and the Sheik. He should have been a Shah instead of a Sheik and whatever.
So this year, the other movies nominated for Best Picture, 12 Years a Slave, which won.
Uh-huh.
Captain Phillips. Man, this is a bad year for movies.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave yet, but, you know, still. Dallas Buyers Club.
That was a great movie.
Overrated. Gravity. Overrated. Her, haven't seen. Nebraska, haven't seen. Philomena, how'd that get nominated for Best Fucking Picture? And then The Wolf of Wall Street, which is, like, the glaring one. It's like, okay, what are we doing here? That's obviously the best movie of those 10.
Yeah.
Not having seen them. Other movies that are, like, getting nominated for, like awards, like, important ones. August, Osage County, Blue Jasmine.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That's really it. What a terrible fucking year for film.
Mm.
Good Lord. Frozen. Which, like, that's like, fuck, they nominate Frozen over, like, fucking this, for crying out loud.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, it's indicative, I think, of the time and the year that we had at play. But looking through my notes, like, what, give me some scenes and some stuff that you like.
Some scenes and stuff that I like. I'm just kidding. I enjoyed... we already talked about, like, the opening scene. I enjoyed the introduction... Or not the dinner with the wives.
Are you talking about when Bale and Lawrence go out for the first time with Carmine and his wife? And
I like that scene, and then they're Bale talking about the perfume. And Carmine
kind of go out afterwards.
Yeah, and then they're talking about the perfume, and she's falling on the floor because she's drunk. I thought that was, like, a scene that I'm like, yeah, like, that's legit. Like, that's, like, a real scene, and I like that because it kind of gave you some character development, but it also...
It's important for continuing on... kind of establishing the dual camaraderie lives of Bale mm-hmm. and also the camaraderie
between them that, and why it was so
you
know, hard.
You need that so later on
it pays off.
The yeah. weight you yep. feel with Carmine's yeah. you know freak out when Bale reveals himself makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, that scene has weight to it, but that scene should have been better. But David O. Russell sucks.
Yeah,
so
yeah. But I liked that scene. There were also some like cute little like things that I liked. Not like the whole scene, but like parts of it. Like with the Sheik when they're meeting, like the other guy's playing the Sheik, and he's like, "What happened to my guy?"
Oh, on the Bale, plane.
Yeah, on the plane. Yeah. Bale's like, "What happened to my guy?" He's like, "No, we need a Fed." He's like saying something. He's like, "But you're Mexican." Like, yeah. you know, I liked like that scene.
Heard here first, folks. Samantha liked the racial humor.
Yep. Gotta like something about this.
So I think the best scene in the movie and the best stretch is like kind of the 10 minutes where it's the De Niro scene, I think is the best.
Oh, I was just about to say, and I love the De Niro scene.
The De Niro scene, and then specifically the argument and the fight that Roz and Edith have in
the bathroom.
In the bathroom. Like,
and that, then the tears. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this.
That is the best
fucking scene.
It is tense. It is.
I said, yeah.
It is.
The acting was phenomenal.
It's got great acting.
The one-upmanship, like, I loved it.
That is the best scene in the movie. Now,
the soundtrack is also still amazing at this
point. Prior to that, like, them getting into it, so this is a perfect example of, like, what an awful dichotomy this movie is in most cases. That whole little stretch is so kind of tense and fraught and interesting. What is the build-up to that scene? When they're all converging outside of this meeting, it becomes crystal clear to me that this movie sucks. Because, like, Roz, like, immediately knows who Edith is, even though, like, it hasn't been established at any point that she knows
right.
that something
Edith
is going
knows
on.
Who Roz Richie is, but not the other way around.
Richie is now doing coke out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
There's a smoke billowing out to, like stylize the scene. Elton John is blasting. Like, it is, like, yeah. so superficial yeah. and, like, movie that it's, like, why are we doing this? Like, what is the purpose and the reasoning behind this? Because yeah. it doesn't match anything that we've seen up to this point. It is a movie move, and it doesn't feel authentic to everything that's happening.
I agree with that, and I think that also extends to another scene that I was not a fan of, the manic scene with Jennifer Lawrence singing the Live and Let Die. It's just so weird. It doesn't fit. And now, and like, that's one of the things too, like, have I gone around the house cleaning and singing? Sure. That just felt off to me.
It felt so showy.
So showy, so forced, and like I just didn't.
The only thing I wrote was good grief.
This crazy fucking bitch.
And I should enjoy Jennifer Lawrence having like a crazy like lip sync Live and Let Die scene, but because the backdrop of it is like totally nonsensical. I was like, also at this point, this movie's too long. It's like 2 hours and 20 fucking minutes.
Yeah, it needs to be tightened up.
Like, you can take 45 minutes off this movie so fucking easy. So easy. And then it might actually be a five, like you
yeah.
said it was.
Yeah. I did like the ending. The end sequence. Like, you know, I liked that swerve.
This movie is...
I'm so mad I'm
not allowed
to do it. This
movie might win the Swerve Win Award if you were
doing
it.
There is no Swerve Award anymore. Swerve, there's no Swerve Award. I liked that ending scene, but then I didn't like the voiceover, like, at the end.
I do like the like, how Irving and Edith kind of get Richie. Like, the reveal of
I love that.
Shooting himself in the foot in terms of his methods and his ambition and how they get away with it. Like, that was good. That's a good reveal
scene. Yeah, I like that.
But then, like, the wrap-up is, again, just kind of this... I don't know what it is about movies we've watched recently where, like, nobody can fucking end a movie properly.
It's like, no, you can't do a button on a sketch. You can't end a movie.
It's like the wrap up is really wild. The ending is merciful. But it's also indicative of kind of the problem I have with these movies. And I don't know when this trope started of like, some of this is based on like actual events. And it's like almost like a marketing ploy of like, can you imagine that something so ridiculous actually happened? No, I can't, because none of this shit actually fucking happened. You were basically using this as like a metaphor, not a metaphor, but a...
it's a MacGuffin.
I knew you were going to say that. I tried to cut you off and it just fucking failed.
You're the worst.
Like, that shit bothers me because it's a fucking bait and switch. Like, if you wanted to, like, tell this story because it is rooted in some kind of reality, then just tell the fucking story and, like, change the fucking names. Like, Moneyball, it for crying out fucking loud. Granted, like, that's a bad example because Moneyball did, like, play with the truth pretty heavily. But still, like, don't use it as a ploy to get people interested in your fucking shitty movie. Yeah. It's fucking bullshit. Yeah, besides the fact that they use my favorite Steely Dan song in the opening scene, which is Dirty Work, there's not much else about this movie that I like. Things are just fucking awkward and sloppy throughout. So I have plenty of other scenes I did not like. You already hit, like, the two main ones. The Live and Let Die scene, which was one.
Yeah, I did not like that.
And I already riffed on, like, the prelude to the scene I actually liked. Another problem, this movie is not funny at all. This movie thinks that it is like this awesome black comedy, and it almost everything falls onto silence in this movie. Like, yeah. The fucking science oven stuff, the constant teasing of Louis C.K.'s Ice Story, which sounds like a really weird ska band, and B, something that's going to be an article in the fucking Hollywood Reporter tomorrow.
Absolutely.
It just exacerbated, like, by everything else around it, compounding on top of one another. So it becomes just this absolute loose mess of a movie that is just literally falling on, it's just living off of its talent. That's all it's doing, is we have all these people's schedules lined up for 2 months.
Yep.
Let's throw a fucking script together, put them in some ridiculous costumes, and we will be fine. Like, shout out to the fucking costuming department and, like, the hair and makeup department. Y'all, did y'all get nominated for an Oscar? Because you deserved it. Let me look. Hold on. Let me see. If they didn't, I swear to God, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
I did love the look of it. And I even think...
It didn't get nominated for makeup and hairstyling!
It's ridiculous.
Dallas Buyers Club... For fucking sure. Jared Leto's fucking lipstick and...
You can't say it like that.
Jared Leto's lipstick? That's another ska band name. And I was going to say Matthew McConaughey, but Matthew McConaughey didn't fucking eat for 6 months. And then Jackass was a bad grandpa. No arguments there. And then the Lone Ranger. Because fucking Johnny Depp walked around like fucking Big Tonto. But we didn't give anything for that for all the hair in this movie. But we gave it fucking best editing? Suck my ass. Don't need another fucking rant at the end of the fucking podcast. Jesus, Tap Dancing Jones. Need me to tag you in here? Hold on, wait a second. I also didn't like it. Here's what I did. Ow, I just hurt my goddamn throat. I have to teach tomorrow.
I teach it.
What other scenes have we not highlighted that you did not like?
No, I think that covers most of them. Just looking back through.
Another stretch that I really hated was the reveal scene, two of them. The reveal scene of Edith basically becoming Sydney with Richie. And then, like...
I didn't think it was necessary.
Well, like, of course it was necessary. It needed to be done for, like, the movie to move along. But
right, because her being Edith was a MacGuffin.
I almost literally picked this DVD up and smacked you in the nose.
Do it.
No. You didn't even sell it. Or fake sell it.
Because it didn't sound like you hit me. It sounded like you hit the couch. No, at least like hit my hand. No, don't hit yourself.
I don't want to hit you. I'm nice.
Hit my hand.
No, you're not nice. No.
Don't fool these people.
So like that happens, and then like Edith and Irv like kind of reconcile. And then, like, the FBI scene, like, this whole, all of a sudden, this subplot of, like, Richie losing his mind and beating up Louis C.K.
Look.
But still getting...
I hated it.
It's just like, what are we doing here? Like, why... Like, is this supposed to be funny that, like he's getting away with it and, like, the aims and ideals of these people are just so, like, fucking lost that, like, Louis C.K. is supposed to be, like, the only, like, normal and, like... Like,
yeah, that's like what it's supposed one. To be.
Yeah, that's what I want to see in a fucking movie.
Because, yeah, that really...
That'll get him on my side.
Sells it.
I also, another blah thing was, so after that, like the $2 million wire scene with this Alphonse Simone guy, who just seems like he talked for, like, fucking way too long. And then, like, the FBI celebration where, again, like, he's rubbing it in Louis C.K.'s face and, like, fake humping. I was like, you're not your character from The Hangover. What
right,
the
I know. With you? I know. It was very just, like, off-putting.
So this is jumping ahead to MVP and LVP, but I have to say this. Bradley Cooper in this movie set a actual Married with Movies record for me. I have him on both of my fucking MVP and LVP list. Over the course of the movie,
it's wild.
He started as an MVP because I was like, man, he is, like, really charismatic, and I was like, I thought he was supposed to be, like, a dunderhead in this, but, like, in the first couple scenes, you know, he seems to be portraying himself like this really, really, like, assured, like, FBI, ambitious agent again, but, like, possibly getting it over his head, and he slowly but surely loses himself, and then, like, all of a sudden it's like, well, no, he shouldn't be on the list, because, like, he, like his freak out in, like, the big reveal scene of, like, when Sydney, like, reveals who she is, like, terrible. Also, like, it's the 70s. So, the FBI had no way to track, like, falsified records. Like, how she kept it up this whole time. You can't even tell the passage of time that's really happening here.
Yeah, I don't know
if it's fucking 6 months. Like, how long did she get a chance to, like, pass, like, you don't even really know, like how she's, like, passing this stuff along. Because she just was some stripper from fucking New Mexico. And next thing you know, she's, like, this... like, grade A fucking criminal?
Yeah.
It
no plot, just character.
Nope. It sounds like the tagline to a really bad TV network.
Scabbing in, all we're plot, no plot.
Nope. All character, no plot. Welcome to CNN. Yeah, it's fucking awful. I mean, the rest of the podcast should be talking about performances because there's just so many of them.
We can.
So, because I don't really have any other trivia besides the fact that Robert De Niro didn't fucking recognize Christian Bale, which is great. that's
fine. But his movie wasn't nominated for hair and makeup, though.
No, none of it. None of it at all. Hip, hip, hooray. It was Bradley Cooper's idea to give Richie DeMaso a perm hairstyle as well as keeping hair curlers in his scene. Cool. I'm starting to think that Bradley Cooper's a problem. But yeah. MVP or LVP?
Where do LVP. You
start? LVP.
All right, the LVP of this movie is Alessandro Nivola.
I have him on my list too.
Yeah, no, that's because that's who it is.
The FBI boss?
Yeah, the FBI boss.
Yo, so let me ask you a question. Who did he remind you of?
Who did he remind me of?
Remind you of anybody, actor-wise?
Yeah, he reminded me a little bit of the guy with the eyelashes from Batman.
The guy with the eyelashes.
Who's in Batman? The guy? He like the similar role in Batman, like the mayor.
Oh, it's just because he's an Italian.
Yeah,
those are just Italian features on screen. That's one less person hair. That's one less person hair and makeup needed to worry about. Is what that is.
Yeah.
No, I think that guy was trying to do a Christopher Walken impression. Like,
oh, maybe I didn't get that. I mean, if he was, he was terrible. And if he wasn't,
he was very, very
if he bad. Wasn't, he was terrible. Like he was just so bad. He was
very bad.
And distracting. And
he was the last person I wrote down.
He wasn't in a lot of scenes, but
he was distracting when he was. That last scene I was talking about where him and Richie are like, you know, he's giving him the hotel, giving him the money, and Louis C.K. is like, are you fucking serious? Like, he was trying to do, like the thing, you know, like, this is honest to God a better walk-in than whatever that guy was trying to do. Or if that's just how that guy talks, well, then just fucking take voice lessons and don't sound like that. Like, he was so fucking bad. I'm glad you picked up on it. That's probably who we're going to go with. Yeah. I have a little list, though.
Who else?
I mentioned Bradley Cooper. I think it stands to reason that he's on this list. The fact that this movie got, like, the big four acting nominations across the board is preposterous. No, it's not saying that, like, the other three performances, two of those three aren't on my MVP list. You know, fine. But, like, really? You're going to nominate Bradley Cooper for this movie? Really?
Well,
I mean, again, it was probably, like, his second or third nomination in a row because he had that hot streak between this and Silver Linings Playbook and everything else that was an American Sniper or whatever else was going on. But, like, he is really bad in several scenes. Like, that, like, the dance scene I was talking about where, like, they're, like, not...
Oh, yeah, when they're dancing and then they go and almost fuck in the bathroom.
Yeah, and he just lifts her dress up and, like, they're, like, going crazy and then she seems to, like, take a shit and orgasm.
It,
like,
it was bad. It was a bad scene. He was bad in it. And then he goes crazy cocaine and then he's yelling and it was not good. But I still don't like Alessandro Vildnikov. Yeah, I agree.
So other MVPs I have. Louis C.K. He's just Louis C.K.
He's just himself.
He's just the most one-note thing, like... He can't.
What happens if Louis C.K. wasn't a stand-up comedian?
He'd be the regional head of an FBI office. Yeah. His name's like, what's his name, like Stroman or something?
Stoddard.
Stoddard, yeah. His name is Stoddard Thorson. If you just like lined up a group of people and said one of these guys is named Stoddard Thorson and Louis C.K.'s on that line, you'd be like, that motherfucker right there.
I'm gonna name your dick.
Also, he jerks off in front of women unwillingly.
I'm gonna name your dick, Stoddard Thorson.
Sorry, scratch that. He doesn't unwillingly jerk off in front of the women. The women are unwillingly jerked off in front of. That's why he's not like famous anymore. You know that, right? Or why he's.
I'm gonna name your dick, Stoddard Thorson.
Don't name my dick after something Louis C.K. Don't want my dick and Louis C.K. in the same sentence.
Okay.
Thank you. I also have Shea Whigham as Carl Elway. Again, I thought he was gonna be in the movie more. So that, like, first little guy, you know, that it felt like that character should have been bigger and better. I'm finding out I just don't like Shea Whigham as an actor. And also, she only had one line, but whoever played Richie's fiance.
Oh, I didn't like her.
She delivered one line, I was like...
Yeah, but that could have been anybody.
But still, like, it's one line. It's not going to be her. But, like, that's how bad that one line is that I actually wrote it down. People who I don't think are either. Michael Pena is...
Michael Pena just getting a check, okay?
Michael Pena is just living his life.
They
you know?
Said... Just say assalamu alaikum, and we'll give you $1 million.
There's no way he got $1 million for this movie.
I bet he got $1 million.
There's no way he got $1 million for this movie.
I bet he
did. If
he
does, I'm quitting my job and moving to Hollywood to make millions of dollars doing bullshit roles like Michael Pena's everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have Jeremy Renner's accountant.
Jeremy Renner, oh, he's in The Accountant, too, I'll tell you what.
I tell you I'm going to go see that at a...
Jeremy Renner, I actually enjoyed him in this movie.
I think he's good in this movie.
I think he's really good in this. I liked him, but I think as we've talked about before, I'm a big Jeremy Renner fan. I am.
Like
talked
Jeremy
about
Renner.
It when we did The Town. I'm sure we'll talk about it whenever we do MCU stuff, but I'm a big Jeremy Renner fan. I did like him. I don't think he was as standout as
other people.
The main three.
Yeah, who are the three people I was... Well... Actually, so I don't have one of the three on my list.
Why don't you have Jennifer Lawrence on your list?
Incorrect.
Why don't you have Christian Bale on your list?
Because I think that he is good.
I thought he was really good in this.
I think he's good. I don't think he's any more or any less. I think this is one of the movies where I think he flies a little too close to the sun in a lot of scenes. And I'll blame a lot of that on direction, but... He goes for it a little bit too much. Usually when Bale goes for it, he goes for it, but it feels authentic. There are times it just does not feel authentic to me in the slightest sense. It feels like a performance and a put-on.
Well, a part of it, too, is like, that guy's really going to get both of those women?
Well, hey now, look.
Hey
all
now,
right.
Look.
As somebody that's relied on charisma his entire life, and I would have to do it now based on if, God forbid, you get hit by a fucking milk truck tomorrow and I have to get back out there. I'm closer.
You've
got
to do that gold chain open shirt and put that toupee on.
I am closer to Christian Bale in American Hustle than I am Christian Bale in The Fighter. Let's put it that way, all right?
I wouldn't be mad if you were closer to Christian Bale in The Fighter.
I started the joke. Christian Bale is the skinny, sick drug addict. He's not Mark Wahlberg. I started that joke thinking he was The Fighter. I'm like, oh no, he's the ill one. But I would rather be that right now.
I'd rather you be Mark Wahlberg.
I would rather be Mark Wahlberg too.
I'd rather you be a Transformer.
I could be a trans. What would be my Transformer name?
Stoddard Thurston. Gotcha.
Touche. So I don't have Bale on my list.
That's interesting. I thought you would. I thought he did a really good job, especially because
he's not better than the other two people.
I adore the two of them. That's probably why I wanted. That's probably why I had such a hard on for this movie.
Now the third person I have on my list is De Niro. I think De Niro is a welcome surprise in this movie, and he is scary and badass. It's not him for the one scene, but if he was in the movie more, I would legitimately like it a lot more.
I think that's fair.
It is a really great late career De Niro. He reminds me of
my grandfather in this movie, for whatever. My grandfather was a Jewish mobster-esque aura.
Of course, I figured it's full stop. He's a Jewish mobster. I never told you. We're wanted.
No, he's dead.
Well, I know that, but still doesn't mean that those his crimes don't... The mob lives forever.
Sure.
And we did also talk about Jack Houston, his mustache guy.
Thank you. I thought he was fine.
He's fine. No, I just wanted to point out
the mustache. He was good. He was so good. Amy Adams and Jennifer Lawrence...
It comes down to Amy Adams and Jennifer Lawrence.
Two of the most wonderful actresses I've ever had the pleasure of watching their careers. Yeah. I think that they're two of the greatest actresses of our time, and they have so much range between them, and like individually too. Like I thoroughly enjoy them, and I think that's what kind of resonated with me and why I kept nominating this movie, why I wanted to see it again. I think it was just for their performances, because I think that bathroom scene, hands down, is like one of the best pieces of cinema.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
With that fight and then the tears, like I just loved everything about it. So yeah. I agree, they're both on my list as well.
So my choice, if I had to pick one, is Amy Adams.
I do love her. I think she does a little bit more because she does do like the British, like she has like the Edith and the Sydney, and
so
so
her accents are consistent compared to Jennifer Lawrence's. There's some scenes in this movie where Jennifer Lawrence just doesn't have an accent anymore.
Well, yeah, because she's Jennifer Lawrence.
So it's a wild and real performance, even though the accent, Samantha, open your eyes.
Oh, even though the accent
is inconsistent, it's still very, very engaging and captivating. But if I'm going to compare their worst moments, which is that Live and Let Die scene versus Amy Adams' weird, like...
orgasm shit.
We're butt-coming. then I go with Amy Adams. But the thing with her is twofold. Number one, because of like, the multiple lives she's seeming to lead, in a lot of scenes, she's both underacting and overacting. It's kind of a really, really unique skill, what she's doing this. But also, like, I don't like to include this as a reasoning, but for all intents and purposes, it seems like she was put through fucking hell making this movie by David O. Russell.
Yeah.
In the Sony hack that happened in 2013, it was Christian Bale had to literally intervene at one point in terms of, like, what David O. Russell was putting Amy Adams through. He grabbed one guy by the collar, cursed out people repeatedly, and abused Amy Adams so much so that Christian Bale had to get in his face and tell him to stop acting like an asshole. And she confirmed in an interview later on that he was hard on her. She was really devastated on set, and Jennifer Lawrence didn't get any of that. Like, so, like, what the fuck?
They also both got super underpaid for this movie.
Of course they did.
Because they're women.
Yeah, of course they did.
Society sucks.
Yeah.
Because like we just said that they're the two most valuable players in this movie, right? Like they're the two best performances, two best things about this movie, but they got paid the least because they have vaginas. That is what sucks about America.
Yeah. You're 1,000% right.
Yeah. That's been all for...
that's a series wrap on Married with Movies. So like this fucking guy has just like between that... And the Lily Tomlin thing, like when fucking Clooney wants to knock you out. Like, Clooney gets along with everybody for crying out loud.
I know, man. That's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Also, he apparently physically assaulted Christopher Nolan at a party in 2003.
Yo, fuck you, David O. Russell. Fuck
you, dude. You can't beat up Christopher Nolan when all he'd done at that point was like fucking Memento. Come on.
At least wait until he's got Dark Knight under his belt.
Like, beat him up for Dark Knight Rises. Like, wait, give him a reason. So, yes.
You think they were fighting over Christian Bale?
He's mine! I'm going to put him in skin-tight leather. I'm going to put him in a fat suit. I almost dropped the phone on the recorder and it made a very loud noise. So I would like to go with Amy Adams versus Jennifer Lawrence.
No, I agree.
Okay, good. I think she is probably at this point the person who's been nominated for the most acting awards without a win. Mm. And, like, she's also been really swinging for the fences and, like, missing lately between, like, Night Bitch and, what's the fucking J.D. Vance movie? Hillbilly Elegy.
Oh,
like,
God.
Right? Like, she, like, it's not getting better for her. She's in that stretch where, like, we're gonna have to wait for her to get, like, older to get her flowers finally. Where, like, she almost definitely should have probably won for, like, not this necessarily. Who won this year? Because that year was so goddamn bad. Let's look. Hold on. I've started looking at the real life people that were involved in this, like the making of this movie on Wikipedia. So I got lost in the sauce. So let's see who each one of these people lost to see if those were the right choices. All right. So, Bradley Cooper lost to Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club.
And his lipstick.
The other people were Barkhad Abdi, Michael Fassbender, and Jonah Hill. I'll take any of those people. And I didn't even like Barkhad Abdi in that movie. So best supporting actress, Jennifer Lawrence lost to Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
Also there was Julia Roberts, June Squibb, and Sally Hawkins. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Bale lost to McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. Also there was Bruce Dern, DiCaprio, and Chiwetel Ejiofor. Amy Adams lost to Cate Blanchett in fucking Blue Jasmine, which is a whole other fucking problem because that's a Woody Allen movie. So,
a lesbian Woody
other
Allen
people are
movie.
Sandra Bullock in Gravity, Judi Dench, and Meryl Streep. Yeah, this probably could have been Amy Adams' Oscar. You know?
Yeah.
She's been nominated for, I think, 5 of them? Let's look. 6! 6 Academy Award nominations.
Are you serious, Clark?
She's been nominated for 6 Academy Awards. Those Academy Award nominations are for Junebug, Doubt, The Fighter, The Master, American Hustle, and Vice. So she's been nominated for... Is Vice also David O. Russell? I think it is.
I don't think it is.
No, it's Adam McKay. That's right.
Isn't Adam McKay the one who did A Walk to Remember? I think so.
No, Adam McKay is the guy that did Anchorman and Don't Look Up.
You're right.
And The Big Short. A Walk to Remember? I have to look up A Walk to Remember to see what planet you're on. I know you're tired, but good Lord, Samantha.
I'm so tired.
Adam Shankman.
I was kind of close. You have to give me that.
Adam Shankman is the guy who created So You Think You Can Dance. Adam McKay is one of the greatest comedy writers of the 20th and 21st
century. So You Think You Can Dance was a life-changing, revolutionary reality television series that you could shut up about. I've never seen an episode of it, but that's what I've... It's still on the air.
It's No So You Think You Can Plants. Let me check to see. Obviously, Alessandro whatever has never been nominated or won anything. Is Amy Adams on the MVP list? She is not. So here you go. She won a Married with Movies MVP award before she won an Academy Award. So congratulations, Amy.
This is your year, girl.
This is your year. You have a dumb question of the week for me?
No, I don't.
Great.
Good. I don't.
And I already did my rant, so before you full-blown pass out, hey, you made it like 47 minutes before you, what was it earlier? You hit a wall, went through it, over it, around it, flip it and reverse it. And
Yep.
Cool. Are you locking in, then, your score of a 5?
Am I locking in my score of a 5? I mean, look. I do think the ensemble overall, like on paper, that's phenomenal. The music is great. It looks awesome. The costumes, the hair and makeup, I love it. I think I'm going to keep it as a 5. I am, because if there was a plot, it would be higher. But I think that there was a lot of good things about this movie. It was just so disjointed that it just ended up being mid.
It's to me, it's worse than mid. There's nothing more offensive than a movie like this that feels so transparent in terms of let's get awards by throwing people in funny outfits and costumes, doing some kind of weird, like, based on a true story type thing and have it make no sense, and that's going to be fucking art. There's a couple good performances, a couple passable scenes, and some good music. I'm going to stick with my 3.5, which means that this movie gets
a 4.25.
4.25, which I think is entirely too high, but you know, we are stuck with the rules that we have here. So, this is from our Wrap It Up series. So, Smith, I'm going to need you to go to the random number generator real quick.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
And pull up a number between 1 and 114, please.
1 and 114?
Correct. Now, we got a lot of cross-offs here, so, you know.
Okay.
It's, you know, we'll see what we have.
All right, so it's going to be number 102.
Ooh, so something recently.
Something more recent.
No.
What?
Put another one.
No!
It's fucking Lyle, Lyle Crocodile. God damn it, Jillian.
Success, Jillian.
Ugh.
She could be so happy. Look, we've been wanting to do more stuff together as a family.
Yeah, but like, fucking, we have Legos to do. Like, we have other shit. Like, I don't want to have to watch Lyle, Lyle. You know how many times in my life in the past 3 years I've watched Lyle, Lyle Crocodile? And not once has Constant Wu and that crocodile fucked.
Maybe this
not
time.
Not once.
Maybe this time they will. Save it for the podcast.
No wonder Jillian isn't sleeping because I'm yelling about crocodile sex.
It's like Crocodile Rock.
Can she just do that podcast instead of me?
Yeah.
Please.
Somehow.
God. Oh, we have so little time because I'm on the road and I have to spend literally 3 hours of my life. And it's not even that bad of a movie. It's just annoying.
I mean, at least we'll have more nominees for Best Music at the end of the year.
Shut your mouth. I'll nominate American Hustle before I nominate La La Crocodile.
You don't want to talk about Javier Bardem singing?
Look, I don't mind that.
One of my eyes is officially... I can't open it. So let's move this along here, buddy.
Yeah, what's wrong with her wife? Why does everyone call her Winky? Thank you for listening
she
to this
just
episode...
She just half asleep all the time.
...of Married with Movies. We encourage you, as always, go to arcadeaudio.net for this podcast and the others in our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe to them wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're going to patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content. facebook.com/marriedmovies at marriedwmovies on Twitter. MarriedMovies@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show at your host, Malt Thurdy, on Instagram. Also, look up Chris Muller on Letterboxd for Samantha.
At Jam With Your Sam.
Had your name wrong. Anything else you'd like to share with the people, Samantha? Stop clockwork oranging yourself.
Can't help it.
We're going to finish this, and you can go right upstairs and go to bed as I edit these podcasts and put them together. Okay.
Oh, that's so kind of you.
And then you're done for. Oh, yeah, you don't. That's not different from the process. You say that the only thing you have to do in this podcast is watch a movie and then talk about it for less than an hour, and you somehow always manage to barely do the full responsibility.
It's a lot of pressure, man.
To have a conversation with your husband.
Yes. Stay on topic, and make it funny.
When has that been a concern with you this entire fucking time?
Look, I am prideful. I want to do.
You're not a fucking tiger.
That's a lion.
Or whatever.
I want to do a good job. Okay, so it's a job I take seriously. I know you don't take it seriously, but I take our marriage seriously.
Smith, that eye is still closed.
No, the other one's closed.
I've given you 3 buttons. End the show.
The other one's closed.
I can end this. I can end a podcast like American Hustle can't end a movie.
For Mullet.
This is Mullet.
Signing out for this week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
/ the movies. That's what you picked to end it on. Take a cue and a clue.
Oh, I can't see. Am I hitting the button?
No.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.